Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that continue to follow the show and listen to the show. I appreciate that very much. As most of you know, it just kicked the podcast back off. I took some time away from the podcasting and excited to be back. And most of you know, for almost 11 years now, we've been doing live radio and podcasting with the main objective is to share real estate and market information, financing with those to just help you make wise decisions in that arena. However, along the way, also, most of you know that we do giving back segments. We've done a lot of community events. Our focus is certainly on helping people in real estate and financing, but in the big picture, it's about a community. So we really like to have people on a regular basis that could share good information and help people, whether it's nonprofits or organizations and different ways to give back to the community. So with that, I am going to introduce my guest today, who I have a privilege of having on. And I think she was here just about this time last year. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so I'm happy to invite my daughter, Rachel, back into the studio today in the podcast to share a little bit about the importance of mental health and her journey. Welcome in, Rach.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Good to have you. So was it last May you did the podcast?
Yep, a year ago from today. Yeah,
it was. So I'm going to have her promise right here in on a live podcast that she'll do more than once a year. So here we are. It's an important month, and again, if most of you don't know, Rachel will certainly enlighten us. And she has been a crusader and an advocate of mental health, and she's going to share her journey with us, but also a lot of stuff that she's learned and shared along the way. And my hope is that, and we'll talk a little bit at the end of the podcast, my hope is that you could take this information and share it with someone you love or care about, someone that you think may be struggling, or anybody, maybe if they're not, because I think most of us would be surprised. We don't even know, are we not aware of the amount of people, or sometimes people around us, our loved ones, are struggling. So with that, I will invite Rachel in. And maybe, Rachel, you could start by giving us a little bit about your background and your journey.
So I'm, well, Rachel, and 28 years old. My journey with mental illness, mental health, 14 years ago, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. So it was about like eighth grade for me. It's been a journey ever since. And I'm very passionate about mental health awareness. When I was first diagnosed, and I think a lot of people are like this, believed that I was like the only one who struggled, only one with that diagnosis. And so it could be really lonely and thinking you're the only one. And then through support groups that I had gone through and stuff, I learned like, wow, these people around me are experiencing the same thing, same thoughts, same emotions. And I soon realized like so many other people were struggling. And then around high school, that's kind of when I first started to feel like a calling to share my story. And be open about my story, because I realized I wasn't the only one. And I'm like, okay, well, there must be so many other people struggling and not talking about it. And so, that's when I first started talking openly about it and have been ever since. It was rough in the beginning, you know, because not everyone's very open to it. And I remember when I first started sharing on social media, I was sharing a lot, and I would sometimes get messages of like, you know, you're sharing too much about mental health, or we get it, you're depressed, stuff like that. And like, you know, not great messages, but then I would get even more messages of people saying like, thank you for sharing that. I know I'm not alone. Thank you for, you know, because you shared this, I'm seeing a therapist now, or I'm on medication. I think one of the coolest ones is one girl reached out to me because she was suicidal, and she was like, I want to get the help that I need. Can you please like walk me through what that looks like and how to do it? And that was like a really cool thing to do. And so that's why I I continue to share my story, and I'm passionate about mental health advocacy. I feel like it's my calling. So
it is, for sure. And you've done a wonderful job. There's, I want to bring up real quickly before we get to the next kind of topic, or not topic, but things we're talking about today. And that is that you mentioned that some of the people are nervous or apprehensive, or the way they responded. What I think is interesting, I learned a long time ago, and I know you did too, is that, you know, if someone shared that same story on Facebook or social media about, you know, I wanted to share my journey of having cancer, and this is the stage I'm in, and this is what I'm going through, I don't think that person would ever get any concern or nervousness around, you know, gosh, what are you talking about cancer for? What are you talking about a stroke? Why are you talking about, isn't, I know it's better, Rachel, but is it, that isn't that kind of the issue? I guess people are just still uncomfortable, right? What is your thought about that?
Yeah. Well, are you referring to like the stigma?
Yeah, exactly. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that, but before we launch into the pandemic and some things that really, you know, took this to another level, I just wanted to, in general, maybe plant the seeds, if you could do that. And there's still a stigma. I know we're going to talk a little more about that, but it is interesting why people are so uncomfortable. And is it so much that they don't care, or they just don't understand, and so they're nervous about having that conversation? What do you think?
I am not sure. I think maybe a little bit of both. I think there's still a lot of education that needs to be done. I think there's like, people are just hesitant because the stigma is so strong. They just kind of like go along with it of like, oh, this is not something we talk about. And, but I think the stigma has gotten a lot better over the years, but sure. I think that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I would agree. So I want to talk a little bit about the pandemic, because everybody dealt with it. Everybody was in the middle of it. Everybody was affected by it one way or another. And what we did hear in the media and statistics and reports throughout, and I think that sadly we'll hear about it for the next 10 or 20 years, the effect that the effect that the pandemic had on the amount of people that started experiencing maybe or elevated levels that already had depression and anxiety, mm-hmm. and then the people that really developed new ones in that pandemic. Have you seen a lot of that and heard a lot about, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, this pandemic has escalated mental health issues for many people, and also people have developed mental health issues as well. And so it's just skyrocketed. Like COVID obviously is like a huge thing right now, and it's affecting so many people. And I don't know if you've heard of this, but they have called it, some people have called it a dual pandemic. Mm. So it's like a pandemic of COVID and a pandemic of mental health.
Oh, I have not.
Yeah. Because we are like losing way too many people to suicide because they're not able to get the help that they need. And so many people are struggling. And I think, there's not enough people in places that are able to help those people. And I think like therapists are like overwhelmed with the amount of people that are trying to get help, and people can't get a therapy appointment or psychiatry appointment for like months. And it's just like crazy booked out. I think there's just, you know, there's just so many people struggling and not able to get the help that they need, unfortunately, all the time.
Yeah. And I think that you could speak to this, I know. And the sad part for me is, well, depression, mental health, anxiety, a lot of those are sad for everybody or anybody, but especially sad for the younger children, Rachel. And you could speak to that a little bit, of course, because you not only dealt with yourself, but you talk to young children and teenagers all the time. But the fact that when you're at a younger age emotionally, you just don't understand many times why you're feeling a certain way or why this is happening to me. You know, as an adult, like if you're in your 40s or 50s, if something starts going on, you've lived life, you're a little bit educated, so you can figure out, gee, you know, I'm experiencing some depression or anxiety or something's going on. But when you're a young child, the common sense and the likelihood that you're going to understand that and try to articulate that and talk to that about someone is different, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I also would add that I think sometimes it is still difficult as an adult, too. So I think it's not only children, because I think with mental illness, it's, you know, oftentimes it varies. Sometimes people are having issues because of circumstances. So like, yeah, like you said, like, okay, I'm feeling depressed because this happened, but a lot of times mental illness is also because, like, you know, the brain chemistry is off and something's not going on. And that's when it's difficult to know, like, why, like, my life is good, everything's good, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Can you talk a little bit about the difference? Because I know a lot of people automatically would assume, and it's tough unless you educate yourself or talk about it and better understand, but a lot of people would automatically assume if someone's depressed or dealing with a mental health issue that something happened to them, quote unquote, happened to them. Mm-hmm. But explain a little bit about the difference of, yeah, certainly something could have happened, but something may not have happened. It could be a chemical imbalance or some issues around that.
Yeah. And I also think that that kind of ties into why the stigma is still a thing, because like if someone says, oh, I'm depressed because of this, it's like, you're giving a reason for it. And people are like, a lot of people want reasoning behind things. Mm-hmm. And with mental illness, there's often not reasoning. And not only can that be frustrating for, like, your loved ones, but it's frustrating for you too. And you struggle with it because you're like, what the heck is going on? Like, it's hard to explain, but yeah, I think that's still a part of the reason why the stigma is still happening. Cause people are like, I just don't understand why you're depressed if nothing happened. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's difficult for people to understand, but I think that it's enough now. I don't know the statistics. I heard somewhere recently that nearly 40%+ of people at some time in their lifetime will experience some type of depression or anxiety or some kind of mental challenge when it comes to that. So it's not like it's, you know, extremely rare now. There's a lot of people affected by it. There's I guess the stigma, you think it's getting better, that's still out there a bit. What types of things do you think will help that stigma or help people maybe better educate themselves or maybe understand how to approach people or communicate about this in better ways?
I mean, I think just continuing to be like openly talk about it. I think we need to talk about mental health until it's seen as equal to physical health, until it's just as normal to say, hey, I'm going to therapy, as it is to say, hey, I'm going to the doctor. And it's, in my opinion, just honestly ridiculous that there's still a stigma around it. But, you know, cause the brain is an organ just like any other organ in the body. And sometimes things happen. And like, why do you have to be secretive about the fact that you're taking antidepressants? Or why do you have to be secretive about the fact that you're seeing a therapist? There's nothing wrong with any of those.
No, thank you for sharing that, because you're absolutely right. And it is amazing. We've heard the analogies before. And what made sense to me many, many, many years ago is, you know, as a person, we spend all this money on education and sports, and we'll dish out a ton of money for our children or even us to play sports, take trips. As a business person, I've, you know, spent money on business coaching, philosophies, listening to all. And it's amazing that still some people are so apprehensive to share that they're seeing a therapist, or they're struggling in some ways, or they're trying to figure out what's going on. I don't know. I guess you're right. I think the best thing you do is everybody continue to talk about it, continue to make it aware. I know this month is the awareness month, but there should be a focus year round. And I know you get involved with a lot of things. And before we have a lot of topics to kind of touch on here to get through our show today, but I know you've been asked to speak a lot of different events, whether it's your gym or places that you know, your friends and different workplaces, but is that another way, good way, Rachel, is to just get as many people out there sharing the truth?
Yeah. I mean, are you asking like me personally speaking?
Yeah, you and anybody else, you know, just really as many people as I'm guessing you do that, you get asked to do that. I know you'll be doing more and more, but do you think that's part of the answer? As many people like yourself or others that are out there just speaking on a regular basis?
Yeah, definitely. And it's really interesting because when we, you know, have these, you know, for mental health awareness, the color is green, like advocating for mental health is like green. And for example, like advocating for cancer, people who are struggling with cancer awareness month that's pink. And so a lot of people will do pink parties and do cancer awareness. And like, everybody's like, oh yes, like I'm going, let's support, let's show up, dress in pink, all the stuff. And then it's funny because oftentimes we don't see as much like enthusiasm when we're like trying to throw these green parties and like a mental health awareness, and people are like, oh, yeah, sounds cool. So people are just not like fully used to it yet. And I think that's why we just continue to do it, and why I encourage other people to do it, because, you know, it's just going to be something that takes time, but you got to you got to let people know about it.
Yeah. Awareness is the key for sure. And I think that is one of good, we're going to talk a little bit about social media, but as much as people complain about it and issues around social, the wonderful thought about the part about social media is you can get a lot. There's a lot of support groups and a lot of people that could express themselves in that manner as well. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the emotional support when it comes to mental health. And I know a lot of people you'll see, like in the airports and different places, you'll see, typically you see dogs, right? And a lot of, you see this with veterans and all kinds of different people. And I know there's places that train these dogs for emotional support. And so I want to have you tell your story, and I chuckle a little bit, and so do you, because it's so cute what, you know, the decision you made with emotional support, as much as maybe you may have wanted a dog. But tell us a little bit about your journey with that, and then what you might advocate for people that are thinking about that.
Yes. So what he's referring to is my little dwarf hamster. He's I'm literally so obsessed with him. But I mean, yeah, he's not like a registered emotional support animal, but I wish he was, but he might as well be, because he's like, he honestly is the best decision I've made over the last year. He's going to be one next month, and I just bought him a little birthday hat. I think not only does he bring so much joy to me, but like, seriously, he brings so much joy to everybody else's life. Like, it's insane. And that's what I love about him, is like, anybody who meets him in person or like sees a picture of him are like, they are immediately like, smile on their face. And I love that that my little pet can bring that to people. Mm-hmm. Like one of my friends the other day was like, hey, I'm kind of bored, and I just like, I need to smile. Can you please send me pictures of Biscuit?
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, his name's Biscuit, by the way. I don't think I said that. So I love that. And I just think pets are a great source of therapy. You know, sometimes when I'm having a hard day or I'm like anxious, I will literally go grab him out of his cage and just like hold him and just pet him. And just that can like ground me and make me feel a little less anxious. So I think, you know, whether that's being next to your animal or petting them or taking them for a walk or asking a friend if you can spend time with their animal. Like, I just think pets and animals can be really healing. So
Yeah, I would agree. And I think what's so wonderful about pets, and the people that listen to the podcast, they'll certainly understand and relate to it, that, you know, one of the things I think that attract us to pets, their love is unconditional. There's no agenda. And I'll say it, I know it sounds funny, but they don't talk either. So a lot of people, if we could get them to not talk, we might be in better shape. So that's what I love about animals too. And they just give you the love. So I'm so glad that that's helpful. You know, as you're listening, as you're talking about this, Rachel, I just thought, I'm not sure if it would be healthy for him, but I thought, why don't you, for the month of May, why don't you dye his hair green?
Great idea. Great idea. Sure, he would love that.
I think that all of a sudden it just came to me when you said that green and then your sport. So that's just a great thing. Obviously, you're advocating that for emotional support animals, and I think that's a great idea. Let's talk a little bit about parents, relatives. I know generically we talked about it when we started the podcast, but talk a little bit about the importance of really, you know, having the courage or bringing this awareness to parents, relatives, friends, close friends, people that care about you. And I know it's easier said than done. A lot of people will say, well, why don't you just share with someone? And that's another thing people don't understand. It's not that easy. But I guess talk a little bit about that. And then, you know, the people that you should share this with, and, you know, the honesty about what you're going through as a person.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is really hard to talk openly about what you're going through when it comes to mental health, because I think the biggest thing is what are people going to think about me, and also like feeling like you're going to be a burden to people. So it's hard, but it, like, getting the support is also very vital. And also I think a lot of times maybe people have experience of people not being supportive or something, and so I think it's important to find someone that you trust. And for people who have loved ones who are struggling, support is going to look different for everybody. And so sometimes when you're asking them like, oh, how can I best support you? Which honestly sounds so cliche, but like my advice for someone who has a loved one who's struggling is to just ask them how you can best support them. Cause I think oftentimes we can guess how someone wants support, or we can think they want it this way cause we would want to be supported that way. But just ask them. And also a lot of times it can be difficult for people struggling to even voice how they want to be supported. So you can give them, maybe a couple like options of support. Can be like, do you want me to like text you once a week or once a day to check in on you? You want me to call you? Do you want to meet up for a walk or dinner? Do you want me to just come be with you so I don't have to be alone? Like, you can give them options of support too. But I think, yeah, support's going to look different for every person.
Those are important, but also share with it, because I think it's just as important that people hear the things they should stay away from, some of the terms and some of the responses, because I know I learned this a long time ago and you know, I could relate it to certain things. I'll give you an example. Like when someone close to you passes away, a lot of people without thinking will say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, but they're in a better place. Well, mm-hmm. No, not really. And maybe, I guess what I'm saying is give us some examples of what people should stay away from. If, for instance, if I finally get the courage to approach you and said, you know, I'm struggling with depression or some kind of anxiety of some sorts, what you don't want, I guess, and you should speak to this better, what are some of the things that people say, not because they want to be mean or not understanding, but what are some of the things they say that could just turn you away from being honest and open with them?
I think one of the biggest things, and I think I may have mentioned it earlier, is like when you're telling someone, for example, I'm feeling really depressed, and they're like, why? Like, you literally like have nothing to be depressed about. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, your life is great. You have a great job, and you know, all these things. And that's not a good response, because then it kind of makes that person feel like, well, okay, should I not feel depressed if I have, like, if my life is together? And that's not a good response. And I think a lot of people can often say, well, you look fine and stuff like that. Like, I don't understand. Like, you look happy all the time, so that doesn't make any sense. Like, are you, you know, over exaggerating? Or are you looking for, a lot of people will be like, oh, are you just looking for attention and stuff? That's also not a good phrase. I think that's a phrase also that's used a lot with people who are feeling suicidal. People can be like, oh, they're just looking for attention. It's a phrase that's thrown around, and that is like not okay, because that person is needing help. They're not needing to be judged in any way.
Yeah. Or questioning, right? That's not a good thing. If someone says, I'm really feeling depressed, wouldn't it be a good thing to say, are you sure? And you sure it's not something you're eating, or sure it's not something that happened? Or in other words, so your recommendation, you're saying that, you know, ask questions, but support, and just basically ask, how can I help? Those types of things. What can I do to help, versus making judgment statements or accusations?
Yeah. And I think just listening, I think people can automatically go towards like wanting to fix and like talk and like all this stuff. And that person just might want to be like listened to, or like ask them what's going on, like, and just literally listen to them. So I think, yeah, that's just being heard is a big one.
Okay. And I know this is very similar, but, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the workplace. What I see, and I know I've shared some stuff back and forth with you, is it seems like finally also it's great to see the kind of the national American workplace is finally recognizing mental health and some of the challenges around it, depression, anxiety. You know, we could go on and on, but are you seeing more and more workplaces finally just being open about it and having a open door policy and being more communicative about what's going on?
Yeah, no. I mean, I hear of places and big companies doing like mental health days now. And I think that's amazing. And I think every company should have that, like just offering your company, hey, we're going to have a mental health day. Like, everyone take the day to yourself and do what you need to support yourself. But not all the time. And I think there are still a lot of companies who are not open to it and not supportive of it. And I would just encourage workplaces to be more open about it, because when you're, it's not a matter of like if your employees are struggling, it's a matter of when, because it's going to happen. And you know, when they're struggling, they're more willing to open up about it to you and whoever's there. And I think maybe that looks like maybe doing like weekly check-ins with your employees and being like, how's it going? And just continuing to talk about it like it's any other topic. For example, I reached out to my office manager yesterday, I think it was, and because it's Mental Health Awareness Month, obviously. And so I said, hey, like, I would love to do a post for our company's Instagram page for mental health awareness. And I was very unsure how she would respond. I was kind of worried that she would be like, no, like, I don't know. But she messaged me back and was like, yeah, absolutely. I would love for you to create a post and send it. And I think that's a great idea. And so I think you never know how people will respond. And so just continuing to be open about it.
Well, that's a great idea. And I'm glad you brought that up. So what types of things maybe could just give some people some suggestions that are listening to this? And we're going to talk more specifically about people that are dealing with depression or, you know, how to approach people. But outside of that, or other than that, what type of recommendation or suggestions would you give to people, whether it be in the community, workplace, family, friends? What type of, how could they help? How could they get involved? What types of things can they do to try to support and bring more awareness?
I mean, I think it depends if you're, you, support looks different in different ways, whether you want to, like, you could go big and try to do some event and raise awareness, or you can, you know, start with someone that like, you know, and care about that has a mental illness and start by like supporting them. And, I think, you know, it looks different in people's lives of how you're gonna bring awareness to mental health. But whatever you can do, whether big or small, is going to make a huge impact.
Yeah, that's great. Good suggestions. What about, you know, if someone's listening to this podcast, eventually will, hopefully, again, I would encourage people to share this with everybody you can, because oftentimes you have no idea. We have no idea, I should say, what people are dealing with, what type of mental illness or some challenges they're having. What would you suggest someone's just really starting to feel, you know, challenged, or maybe they think they have depression, not sure what's going on, or just unsure and they're sad, and, you know, it could be any different ways, you know, effects on them. Do they approach someone they trust? Do they approach a doctor? Do they approach a therapist right away? What are some of your suggestions for someone that maybe is just experiencing this? No one really knows about it. They haven't approached anybody yet, and they're not sure who to approach.
I mean, I would just start by telling someone. I know that's like easier said than done, but you need to speak up in order to get the help you need. And maybe that's telling a friend or family member, or maybe that's you'd rather tell your doctor or someone, anyone you can confide in that would then help you get the help you need. You want to choose someone that you trust and also that you know who would help you take that next step of like, what can we do? You know, if you prefer to tell your doctor rather than like someone like, you know, like your friend or family, like you can always start by sending them an email like, hey, I think I might be struggling with depression or anxiety, or fill in the blank of whatever. Do you think we can set up a time to talk more about it and kind of open up that conversation? And, they should be, you know, willing to help you.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about social media. It's so wonderful in so many different ways. I think life, there's so many things you can point to some positive things because of social media. Now on the other side, just like any technology or advancements, there are things that, you know, that don't work so well and are negative and cause issues in people's lives. So, but you know, it's free and open country, and that's one of the things, the price we pay, even though it's a free country, freedom of speech, you know, with that comes responsibility and taking care of yourself and monitoring yourself. So social media, a lot of experts would say that all the good it's done, some of the challenges, especially for younger people, is that, you know, when you're on it, you're seeing what appears to be the perfect marriage, the perfect couple, the perfect face, the perfect this, the, you know, and so when you don't really understand that this is just kind of a ongoing reality show for the most part, What would your suggestions be specifically maybe for the younger generations, Rachel, in kind of protecting yourself and when it comes to social media and the exposure to it?
Well, I actually recently just took a break from Instagram specifically. I'm back on it now, but I took about like a little over a month break because I was getting very overwhelmed like with it. And I think it's different for everyone with what kind of social media is okay and what is not. Like, for me, Instagram was feeling very overwhelming, and I noticed myself comparing myself to everybody. Mm. Like, this person got engaged, this person had a baby, this person got a new job, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it kind of makes you feel like, oh shit, like, should I be in this place in life by now? And it kind of, I think, can especially for people who are struggling with mental health issues already, I think can put you back a little bit. And it wasn't good for me. It was kind of making my depression a little worse, comparing myself. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I need to take a little bit of a break. And I found it very, very helpful.
That's good. So you'd recommend maybe taking a break and I think just the message too, it's so hard, I you know, for everyone, let's face it, doesn't matter how old you are, but I think, I especially feel for the younger generation when you're a little bit older, you understand that a lot of the stuff that's posted, you know, pictures, images, you know, presentations, different things, you realize that, you know, a lot of it's show and tell, a lot of it's perception, a lot of it's what they want people to think and all that kind of stuff. So when you're older, you get a little bit of grasp of that, but it's just tougher for the younger generation. So your recommendation was maybe take a break every once in a while, or I don't know, maybe educate yourself a little bit more on it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times with people my age too, we're very like, I don't know if it's like trained or whatever with social media to be like,
it's a good point. Yeah. You grew up with it.
Yeah. But to like, yeah, to care about like, oh, how many likes. And if it's like, if you don't get this many mm-hmm. likes, it's like, oh, this is not post worthy. Like, should I delete it? And it's like, it can oftentimes really feed into like outward validation. And that's mm-hmm. like very unhealthy. And it's just like, if I think this is a good picture, I'm going to post it. Like, why do I care how many likes I get or how many followers I have? But so yeah, I recommend, you know, taking a break if you need to, and also you know, muting pages and people if you need to, if it's like a trigger for you. Blocking people, I've learned, is okay if you need to block them. You just, you know, it's you, your number one goal needs to be to protect yourself and your mental health. So you got to do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. We got a few more minutes, but talk a little bit about, if you can, it kind of goes along with what we're talking about here, but you know, we talked about approaching which person to approach and who's safe and this and that, but just a little bit about boundaries. I mean, unfortunately, most of us don't learn until we're older how important they are with people. And it doesn't really matter. It could be friends we grew up with, could be family, could be any work coworkers, could be anything. So in general, it's important to have healthy boundaries, but does it become a little more challenging when you're dealing with depression or mental illness and things where you struggle with that? Or do you see any part of that you might want to talk to or speak to in terms of doing really try to do a good job and not, I guess what I'm trying to say is protect yourself. How do you best protect yourself? Maybe is what I'm trying to get to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've learned a lot about that in this last year. And my therapist and I have talked a lot about that in therapy because I'm what you would call a people pleaser, and boundaries are hard for people who are people pleasers. And, you know, you want to make everyone else happy. You don't want to make people angry. And so oftentimes your needs kind of come second. And I think what I've learned is, you know, your people are going to get upset. People are going to be unhappy, but at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. And I think I've thought for a long time that boundaries were a bad thing. And I've learned that they're actually a good thing and a healthy thing. And there are going to be people, and there are people in my life that have not been okay with boundaries. And it's like, okay, well then I guess you are maybe not like, you know, maybe it's not right for you to be in my life then if you're not okay with boundaries.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just, that's how it is. You got to protect yourself, and the people who deserve to be in your life and who really care and love about you are going to respect those boundaries.
Yeah. No, I think it's well said. And I think it does. You said it right, protecting yourself. And sometimes it's awkward when you're a people pleaser or you want to make everybody happy.
Awful. Yeah.
Speaking from experience here. Yeah. So with a few minutes we have left, I'd like to have you just speak directly to, we've talked a lot about things we could do, awareness, support, discussions, conversation, education, all these things. But someone that's listening to this podcast, or maybe someone that hears you, Rachel, and says, you know, I really need to send this to my niece or my nephew or my aunt or my uncle, my parents. Take just a minute or so and just talk to a person as if you were talking to them directly, one-on-one, and they came to you and they said, "Just, gee, Rachel, I'm really struggling here. I don't know what to do. What types of things should I do right now? And who should I look to for support? How could you help me, Rachel?"
I would first say, like, know that you're not alone, because that's one of the things that I wish I would have heard first off, like, you're not alone, in your battle and in your struggle. And know that your story matters and your pain is valid. Even if people don't believe you, like, you need to believe yourself and listen to yourself. And that you're worthy of support and finding support. And, you know, reaching out to someone who you trust, and knowing that maybe possibly you might not get the response that you're hoping for the first time. And if that happens, like, don't stop trying to reach out for support, because just because you get someone who doesn't believe your story or doesn't take you seriously or something, like, that does not mean that you shouldn't be taken seriously or that you're not worthy of getting the help that you need. So I would just encourage you to keep looking for that person who will help you or get you the support that you need, because it's out there.
Great. Thank you for that. So before we leave, we want to make sure, I know you're being asked to speak at a lot of different places, schools, events, organizations, there's nothing like, I don't care what your expertise in or what you're knowledgeable or what your background is, but the beauty about what you speak to is that, you know, you've lived it, you understand it, you've helped a lot of people. You continue to crusade in the journey, and I really highly commend you for that. So if someone wanted to reach out to you and contact you and maybe either have a one-on-one or have you talk to someone or maybe just bounce some things off you, what's the best way to reach you?
I get messages all the time. So I know sometimes people are like, are she saying that just because, like, she has to, but, like, honestly, I love when people message me and reach out to me. So please do. So you can either find me on Instagram or Facebook. My name should be, I think it should be on the post when you post this.
It will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my first and last name, Rachel Kuchara, on Instagram or Facebook, or you can email me my first and last name, Rachel Kuchara, and then the number 0@gmail.com. So whichever one you prefer.
Very good. Well, Rachel, I want to thank you for spending time. And of course, as a father, I'm so proud of you. As a person, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you've met this head on, and not only to really then dare endure to help yourself, but now you're using this wisdom, this knowledge, this courage, this passion to help other people. And so, you know, just as a father, I'm super proud of you, and I'm thrilled, and I can't tell you how proud I am. But as a citizen too, as a person standing back and knowing other people that struggle with this, I want to thank you and commend you for all the work that you're doing in this very, very important area.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have you back maybe in a couple months, right?
Sounds good.
And let's get a picture of Biscuit all dyed green, and we could post it online before the end of May.
Yeah. I'll bring them with me.
All right. Thanks again, Rachel. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you again for tuning in. This is a super, super important message. So again, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to share it with someone you love or care about or anybody else, just please do so. If you want to reach me, it's joe@reradiolive.com or 408-838-9060. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. Until next time.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.